We're going to continue this morning in the direction that I started last week, talking about prayer and why pray. And if you were here last week, you remember that we used the word pray as an acrostic. We said that P stands for power. Now, there is a power source that we're tapping into when we pray. R, we said, stands for relationship. That God is not just some kind of a cosmic vending machine, but that He is a Father that we can have a relationship with, and He loves us, and He wants to have that kind of a relationship with us. The A stands for answers, that God answers prayer. Anybody, God's answered prayer in your life? Amen. And then the Y stands for you. It's for you. Prayer is for you, and God wants you to pray. And God's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to refocus on prayer, calling me as your pastor to pray, our administrative council to pray, for our Sunday school teachers and small group leaders to pray, for our Celebrate Recovery leaders to pray, for every our staff to pray. He's calling us. He's calling every one of you. He's calling us to pray. Because of the power, because of what can be released, because of what God is wanting to do in our lives, in our church, in our nation, and in the world. And so we need to be men and women of prayer. I want to just thank those of you who took up my challenge last week to join me on Wednesday night for the prayer time. From 5:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. I think our numbers, Judy, more than doubled this past Wednesday night in our prayer meeting. And so there's enough room that we can double again. And then when we double the next time, we'll probably have to move it here in the sanctuary. And that's going to be quite all right as well. I would just encourage you, maybe you had other things, you couldn't come last Wednesday night, encourage you to come and join us for just an hour of prayer, just focused prayer this coming Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 in the prayer room, which is right back in this back corner of the church here. So join us to pray. Today, I want to begin to look at the Lord's Prayer. Some people have said, well, I don't really call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is really the prayer over in those latter chapters of John where Jesus is praying for his disciples. That's fine with me. If you want to call this the model prayer, we can call it the model prayer. But I want us to begin to look at this the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer today. And today, on this Father's Day Sunday, we're going to focus on that first phrase, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Matthew chapter 6. Let's just go to this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray as Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Many of you have memorized this prayer. You know this prayer by heart. You've prayed it many, many times. Some of you may be young in the faith, and you're like, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, I'm not really even sure what you're talking about. I'm going to ask you to read along with me when we get to this prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Come on, let's all this say this prayer out loud together. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this prayer, kind of dissect it, break it down. But this morning, we're going to start with the first part, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And before I jump into that, just a couple of overarching things that I want to just share with you about this prayer. I think it's important. It gives us a proper perspective as we begin to look at this prayer together. First of all, I want you to notice that this prayer, as we noticed last week, it was given in response to a request. That there were some disciples who were literally watching Jesus pray, and the Bible says that when he finished his prayer, they were so touched, they were so moved, they were so impacted. There was something so powerful about the way he prayed, the effectiveness, that they wanted that in their life, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." In fact, we find that in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, "And it came to pass that, again, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They had a hunger for this prayer life that was going to move things, that was going to shape things, that was going to change things. I want to tell you this morning that all of us enter into the school of prayer, but none of us ever graduate. We never graduate from the school of prayer. We're always learning. We're always growing. It was interesting after the message this morning. I won't use his name, but one of the elders in our church, a man who has served as a missionary and a professor and has been serving the Lord for many, many years. And he was talking about how that he was looking for something to kind of re-kick his own prayer life. And it was like, there was a couple things that you said this morning, Pastor Tommy, that I found helpful today. I want to tell you, we're continuing to learn. We're continuing to press in. And it doesn't matter if you've been serving God for 3 days or 30 years or whether you've taught 100 Sunday school classes or like me, I've been preaching half my life. We still need to be saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the first thing is, it was a request, or the answer to a request. Second thing I want you to notice in general is that Jesus was teaching us the way to pray, not the words to pray. Now, I know that a lot of us have memorized this prayer, and there are certain occasions where we'll say, everybody, let's say the Lord's Prayer together, and as a point of unity, really, as a point of unity, we all pray this prayer together. And I'm not discrediting the value of that. But Jesus isn't really teaching us this prayer so that we'll learn the words to pray. He's giving us this prayer so we'll learn the way to pray. In fact, that's the way he introduced this prayer. He says, in this manner pray ye. In this manner, in this way. He's not saying in these words. He's not saying memorize this prayer and just pray that, and that's your standalone prayer all the time. No, he's like, no, I'm teaching you some truths. I'm teaching you some broader principles of prayer. This is the manner. This is a general way in which you need to pray. In fact, Jesus warns us against just learning and memorizing and praying just over and over rote prayers. He's in a couple of verses prior to giving us this model prayer, he says in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, don't babble on and on. Now, he didn't say when you preach, don't babble on and on. He just said when you pray, don't babble on and on. The King James uses a phrase, vain repetitions. Just talking vain, you know, repeating words that really are meaningless to you. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as other people or people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Listen, I want to tell you, God's not impressed by the words that you pray. He's not impressed by how many times you say your prayer. He's impressed by the heart with which you pray. That's what moves the hand of God. Is your heart, not just words, vain words. I prayed. I heard the story of this little boy. He had been taught to pray his nighttime prayers, probably now I'll lay me down to sleep prayer. Maybe you learned that prayer when you were a kid. And he just kind of got tired of praying that prayer, and so he decided one day he just wrote it down on a piece of paper, and he thumbtacked it to his wall, and when it's time to go to bed that night, it's time for him to pray his prayers, he just rolled over and pointed to the paper on the wall, and he says, there it is, God, you read it. See, if we're not careful, prayer can become just as meaningless as that. We wouldn't say it in those words, there it is, God, you read it. But it's kind of like, all right, here I am, God. I'm doing my 5 minutes or my 15 minutes or my 30 minutes or my hour or whatever it is that you've committed to God. I'm going to pray this much every day. Here I am, God. I'm going through the road. I'm going through the process. I'm doing all the things. I'm hitting all the bullet points that I'm supposed to hit in my prayer. I'm not saying that there's not something to be said for that level of discipline, but I'm saying that God's not interested in how many words you say. He's interested in the heart with which you say those words. And so we need to grasp that he's not talking about our words. He's talking about the way in which we need to pray. And then I would suggest that there are some themes that Jesus is introducing to us as we pray. Some themes of prayer, acknowledgement and worship. That's what we're going to really talk about today. Our Father, which art in heaven, acknowledging him. hallowed be thy name, worship. Submission and petition, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not mine. I'm submitted to your kingdom, your will. And then praying, give us this day our daily bread. That's our petitions that we begin to pray. Forgiveness and repentance. Lord, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Forgiveness and or guidance and assurance. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Guide my path into the right direction. And then to say, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Aren't you glad for the assurance that we can have that we've got a God that's big enough and powerful enough and strong enough that when we pray, he's taken care of it and we don't have to worry about a thing. Amen. So this morning, let's look at the first part of this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Three things that I want to share with you very quickly today. First of all, that when we pray, we should acknowledge the Father's person. We should acknowledge the Father's person. God is not just some cosmic force. There are a lot of people who if you say, do you believe in God? They say, well, yeah, I believe in God. I'm not sure that man could have gotten here all by himself. So, yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of a cosmic force out there. We'll call it God. And they've got all kinds of names for what their God is. But Jesus wants us to understand, again, God is not just some big cosmic force out there. He is our Father. He's a very real person that we can have a relationship with, and God wants to have that relationship with us. So when Jesus instructs us about prayer, he doesn't begin by talking about the place of prayer, because you can pray anywhere. He doesn't begin talking about the period of prayer, because you can pray any time that you want to pray. He doesn't even talk to us about the posture of prayer. He doesn't say, well, when you pray, you need to kneel, or you need to stand, or you need to, no, because it's not about any of those things. He introduces us to the person of prayer, to the Father, the Heavenly Father. And he says, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. And when Jesus said that, you could have knocked the disciples over with a feather, because they had never heard anybody pray our Father. Nobody. And to be invited and to be told, you can pray the same way I pray. You see, they knew about God. These are good Jewish boys. They knew about Adonai. They knew about Yahweh. They knew about Jehovah. They knew God who is the Lord of heaven's armies. They know that God is so big and powerful and awesome. They know he's the creator. In fact, they were very careful. Sometimes they wouldn't even pronounce the name of God because they were afraid that God would strike them down. So they've got this holy, reverent fear of this big, great, big God. But nobody had ever told them that you could say, Father, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. And Jesus introduces us to that reality. He introduces his disciples to that truth. Our Father, our Father. In the Old Testament, there's a handful of times that God is referred to as a father, but never on a personal level. It's never an individual referencing God as my father. David, Abraham, Moses, you name the great men of the Bible who had a real relationship with God. They never called him father. The only time you really hear God called father is when he's called the father of the nation of Israel. It's kind of a corporate sense. He's our father, but never personally. But when we get to the New Testament and Jesus starts teaching us how to pray, God is called father 167 times in the Gospels. Jesus, in every prayer that he prays, he refers to God as father over 60 times. So God's not just a creator, and we're the created, we're like robots and stiff. No, he's our Father. We're his children, and we can have a relationship with him. He's not just some distant God way out yonder. He's not just the big man upstairs that some people refer to him as. He's not untouchable and unreachable and unknowable, but he is our Father. And we are his children. And when we talk about God as our Father, on this Father's Day Sunday, we recognize that there are some fathers that we have in our lives who've been wonderful men, wonderful role models, wonderful examples. Fathers who've been loving and caring and encouraging, and fathers who believe in us and bring the best out of us and love us when we're doing well, and they love us when we're not doing well. And we're thankful for those kind of fathers. And all of us, every man in this room, we strive to be that kind of a father. And if we're older we didn't get it right with our kids. We're trying to get it right with our grandkids. We want to be that kind of an influence in people's lives. But we also recognize that not every person, when they hear the word father, it brings up the warm fuzzies. There are people who, when they hear the word father, it brings up heartache and pain and distrust and fear, because they had a father figure in their life who had the title of a father, but he really didn't play the proper role of a father. And so all of their life, it's all about somehow trying to earn the love, trying to hope that one day I'll measure up, hoping one day he'll say he loves me, one day he'll say he's proud of me, maybe one day I'll get the affirmation and the affection from my father that I so desire. And some people, they struggle with that. And maybe there's some of you in this place today, you struggle with that. And so when you hear me saying, our Father who art in heaven, it's kind of like, whoa, if that's God is like a father, then I'm not sure that I really want to have anything to do with that, because that's going to bring pain and distrust and hurt into my life. If he's anything, I want to tell you today, I want to reassure you today that God is a good father. And you can trust him. You can give him your life. You can tell him your secrets. He's never going to hurt you. He is for you. He is not against you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And there's nothing that you can do that's going to make him love you anymore, but there's nothing you can do that's going to make him love you any less. He loves you as a good father. You know, because of that bad father relationship, it creates what I've heard some people identify as an orphan heart or an orphan spirit. And we know what an orphan is. It's a fatherless individual. And we hear those sad stories of the orphan that's there at the orphanage, and they're hoping when that couple comes in that maybe, just maybe, they're going to get selected this time. And so they're told, put on your best behavior and dress right and comb your hair and, you know, use your manners and do all that stuff and see if you can impress this person and maybe they will accept you and maybe they'll want to take you home and make you their son, make you their daughter. And it creates this works mentality, this orphan heart, this orphan spirit that's like, I've got to produce, I've got to measure up, I've got to get it right, I've got to be worthwhile somehow if I'm going to have a father who's going to love me, if I'm going to have a mother who's going to love me. And it creates this works mentality, orphan heart. And sometimes even after you get adopted, you still carry that orphan heart. And there may be some folks that are here today, and your relationship with God is not so much a son and a daughter with a father, but it's more a servant to a master. And it's about working, and it's about serving, and it's about doing, and it's about trying to measure up, and it's trying to be good enough. And everything, something doesn't go right in your life, you're like, yeah, it's because I disappointed God again. And so now he's letting all this bad stuff happen. That comes out of this orphan heart. And listen, I want to tell you today, on this Father's Day Sunday, as we learn how to pray, our Father, God wants you to have the heart of a son and the heart of a daughter, not the heart of an orphan, not the heart of somebody that's separate, that is trying to earn God's love, but the heart of someone who's like, I'm broken, I'm messed up, but God still loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the scripture that kind of summarizes this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, where Paul says, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is the most personal, intimate word that you would use in referring to your father. It's, I guess, the closest word that we have in our language is daddy. It's daddy. You know, he's my father, but you're my daddy. See, there's a difference in the way we say that, and there's this intimacy, and that's really what Jesus is teaching us, is that God wants to be our Father. So he's close. I want you to know when you pray, I want you to know that when you call out to your Heavenly Father in prayer, that he is there, he's intimate, and he's close, and he loves you. Secondly, I want you to notice that we need to recognize the Father's perspective. This is kind of like balancing out the first point. So in the first point, God is he's intimate, he's close, he's near, he's knowable. But the second point, the perspective of God, this our Father who art in heaven, it begins us to give us this different perspective of God, that he's not just a God who's small and little and close and personal, but that he's a God that's in heaven above it all, beyond it all, more capable than all, more powerful than all, able to answer your prayers. I've got a couple of daughters, and from time to time they might would come to me and say, Daddy, I need something. And the natural response of a dad is to say, well, what do you need? Let me see what I can do to help you. And if there are things that I can do to help my kids, then I'm more than happy to do those things if I deem that it's really good and it's healthy for them. But there have been times when my kids have come to me and they've needed something that maybe I said, yeah, that's real, that's good, that's a need, but it's beyond my ability to give you that. And that's you kind of feel bad as a dad at that moment because you want to be able to do anything that your kids need. The point that I want to make, and I believe that the point that Jesus was making when he taught us to pray, our Father, close, intimate, personal, who art in heaven, he's telling us he's not just a dad who loves you, but he's a dad that's big enough to take care of every need that you've got in your life. There's no prayer request that you're going to, there's never going to come a time when you crawl up into your Heavenly Father's lap and say, Daddy, I need something, that God's going to say, well, I wish I could help you, but you know, that's just beyond my ability to do. No, he is our Father who art in heaven. Jesus really emphasized that in heaven part throughout the Gospels. Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 6:1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, say it with me, in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. God wants us to understand. Jesus wants us to understand. He is God our Father, but he's God our Father who is in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful. Who knows and sees, and he's got a perspective that sees your life from the beginning to the end, and he knows the answers to everything that you're going through. Sometimes we're so close to what's going on in our life, we just don't have the proper perspective. We just can't see it all. You ever been in a traffic jam? I mean, like parking lot on the freeway. I'm not talking about just crawling along. I'm talking about standstill, people getting out of their cars, looking up, trying to figure out what's going on. Anybody been there? I know I have. And we're trying to figure, what is it? And you can't see, and you don't know. But the guy in the helicopter that's flying overhead, he knows what's going on. He can see the whole picture. He knows exactly. It's a car wreck. It's, you know, it's the bridges out. Whatever it is, he can see the perspective. I want to tell you today that God's got an eternal, heavenly perspective on your life. And sometimes we're so close and we think we know what we need, and God's going, no, I can see it from the big point of view. I've got a perspective to help you get through what's going on in your job, in your family, in your finances, in your life. In Isaiah 55:9, God says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to acknowledge that he is our Father, personable, intimate, fellowship, relationship. Our Father who art in heaven, perspective, big, powerful, capable of meeting every need in your life. And then thirdly, Jesus says, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed is not a word that we use. The closest thing that we can come up to hallowed is Halloween, and it means nothing close to Halloween. The word hallowed is from the Greek word hagios, which means holy, sacred, sanctified, separate. And so when we pray, hallowed or holy be your name, we're saying, Father, you are pure, you're untainted, you are unpolluted, you are free from sin, you are separate and different from everything else that is, you are separate from all that is wicked or profane, you are holy. When we say, hallowed be thy name, we're joining in with the songs of the angels that we read about in Revelation and in Isaiah chapter 6, who are constantly around the throne of God crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God never gets tired of that song. And the angels never get tired of singing it to him, and neither should we as we come into his presence. It's not, hey, Dad, give me the keys. It's, Father, who art in heaven, before I would dare ask you for anything, I want to acknowledge everything that you have already done for me. I want to acknowledge you for who you are and the greatness of your name. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, holy, worthy to be praised, is your name. I'm thankful today that we have a Father who's close and intimate and personal, and who wants a relationship with us. I'm glad today that we have a Father who is in heaven, high above it all, powerful, majestic, more than capable of meeting every need in our lives. I'm glad to know today that we have a God who is so good and so perfect and so holy that we can declare, hallowed be thy name. The story's told of a Roman emperor who had won a great victory, and he came back to Rome with the spoils of the battle. He comes back to Rome with leading behind him all the captives. Hands bound, he was victorious. The people lined the streets of the city to cheer on their emperor, to praise him for what he had done. There were legionnaires, big, tall Roman soldiers who stood along the parade route, along the streets that wound its way through Rome, standing there to keep order, to make sure that the crowd stayed out of the street, to make sure that the emperor was able to progress and this parade would go forward without any problems. About halfway through, there was a grandstand that had been built, a large platform where the dignitaries would sit, where the wife, the empress, and her children would be, watching the parade and seeing all of what their hero had done. Before anybody really realized what had happened, a little boy slipped off of that platform, got away from his mom, and started making his way down through the crowd. Pushing and crawling, he would got his way down all the way to the edge of the road where his father was approaching. And he's about to crawl through one of these big Roman legionnaire shoulder's legs. And the soldier looks down and sees him, picks him up, and says, son, what do you think you're doing? This is the emperor that's coming. This is a big parade, a big celebration. You're not supposed to be out there. What do you think you're doing? And the little boy looks at that big old burly Roman soldier and he says, to you, he is your emperor. But to me, he's my father. And that makes all of the difference in the world. I want to tell you today, He's not just an emperor. He's not just a creator. He's not just the big man upstairs. He is our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Father, Lord, thank you that when we pray to you from the depths of our heart, not some rehearsed, memorized, stiff, meaningless prayer. But Lord, we pray with simple words out of our heart to our Father who loves us personally and intimately and passionately. And Lord, likewise, we love you personally, intimately, and passionately. Help us, Father, to be men and women of prayer. Help us to never get to the place where we think that we figured it all out and we've graduated from the school of prayer and we don't really need your help anymore. God, help us to cultivate the relationship with you in daily prayer so that it's not just crying out to God in our hour of need, but it's getting along with you, really getting to know you, so that you can whisper into our heart the things that we'll never know any other way. One of this morning, his head stay bowed and eyes are closed. It may be that the prayer that you need to pray is the prayer of the repentant sinner. Maybe that's the next prayer you need to pray. The prayer that says, my Father, because maybe up to this point in life, you've not ever acknowledged God as your Father. You've not ever acknowledged Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But this morning, you would be ready to make that decision, ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, who loves you so much he died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sins. Because you see, the fact of the matter is, we're all sinners and we're all deserving of death. Jesus died in our place. That's how much he loves you. He loves you so much. He died in your place, paid the penalty for your sin. And all you have to do to become a Christian, to become a child of the Heavenly Father, is to just call out to him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we can be saved. And if that's the decision that you need to pray, if that's the prayer that you need to pray today, is I want to pray and ask Jesus to become my Lord and Savior, I'd love to pray that prayer along with you this morning. Would you just, where you are, would you just raise your hand acknowledging that's the prayer that I want to pray right now? I want to pray the prayer of surrender that asks Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. Is there anyone in this place today that you need to pray that prayer? I don't see anyone raising your hand. I hope that that means that everyone here is a born-again child of God. But for the sake of those who may be watching online today, let's just pray that prayer together. And if you're watching online and you know that you need to ask Jesus in your life, it's so simple. Just say, Jesus, I come to you right now. And I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to welcome you into the family of God. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me here at the front. We're going to close this service in just a moment. But we recognize that there are people who come here today with brokenness in your lives. And you want someone to stand with you and pray with you and agree with you, because the Bible talks about the power of agreement. The Bible says where two or three agree is touching anything, that it shall be done of the Father who's in heaven. And so we want to stand in agreement with you, pray with you, love on you. And so as I pray this prayer of benediction to release you to go and be the church that God has called you to be, if you need prayer, I encourage you to just make your way down to the front. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can call you our Father who art in heaven, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we can acknowledge that you are so worthy of our praise. Lord, help us, teach us to pray. Teach us to press into prayer, to understand the power and the value of prayer. Lord, I just ask that you administer to each and every one in this place today, those that are broken, those that are hurting, those who need you, Lord, as they make their way here, I pray that you will meet them at their place of need. Help us as we go forth to be your ambassadors, to be your representatives to a world that needs to know about Jesus. In your name, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day.